your Bibles to John, the book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to be talking about, simply, this is just going to be a defense of the deity of Christ, or just a scriptural explanation of the deity of Christ. You can see that for yourselves and to understand this a little bit better and be able to have some scriptural references. I've done this before, probably a year ago or so or something, maybe a little couple years ago I did this, but I'm doing it again because I want it to be recorded so you can go back and listen to it when you have some questions about something or you want to answer something an answer to something that you need, a question that you have. The problem is when dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, they are trained very well in attacking the deity of Christ. And they're very subtle when they do it. Now, they don't bring a lot of scripture into it, but what they do is they twist what scripture they do use. And the problem with that is that if you don't know your Bible well enough, you're not going to be able to defend that. And you need to be able to defend that, defend the scriptures, and hold up that which is right. So we're going to go through the deity of Christ here, and we're going to go through some verses in the Bible, some teaching in the Bible that really explain that Christ is God. Shows that emphatically that you must believe that Jesus Christ is God. You must understand that He is. Father, I pray You'd help us now. Help us understand this great truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it's real easy to understand this. The first reference that you have is John chapter 1. Now, there's other references in the Bible. I'm not going to say it's the only reference, but where we're going to start for the purpose of this study is John chapter 1. John chapter 1 explains the deity of Christ. It explains that Christ is God. It shows that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Very, very straightforward here. He is saying that Jesus Christ is the Word. He explains who the Word is. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He's not speaking of the beginning of the Word. He's speaking of the beginning of creation. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? He is explaining to you the beginning of creation. In the beginning. The beginning of what? Well, we know he's not talking about the beginning of God, because God has no beginning. He has no ending. So he's not speaking of the beginning of God or the beginning of the Word. He's not saying that. What he's saying is explaining to you that in the beginning of what? Well, if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, you see what he's talking about when he says that here. Genesis chapter 1. This is going to be real easy because 1 is going to be a good starting point here for understanding the deity of Christ here, because the chapter indexes. What does it say in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1? Is anybody there? Does anybody have that verse memorized? Genesis, any man have that verse memorized? Anybody? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, it says. And then here we have in John chapter 1, what do we have? The same language, in the beginning. All right, so we understand he's not talking about the beginning of God. There is no beginning to him. He's speaking of the beginning of creation. He's saying, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if I just stop, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by the Word of God. Everything. Amen? Everything. And then I won't read all of this to you, but he goes on to say in verse number, we pick it up again in, John bear witness. I lost my spot here. Excuse me. Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know what the beginning was, the beginning of creation. We know who the Word is by what? By verse number 14 explains who the Word is. And the Word was made flesh. The Word, the one that was with God in eternity, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the testimony of Christ, being God, dwelling among us. And we beheld His glory. Whose glory? The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see here that he's speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he is God. Very simply put. Now, what you'll have Jehovah's Witnesses do is they'll start pulling their hair out on this one because they get a little upset. Now, their perversion tries to change that a little bit. I'm trying to remember what their perversion says that they use, their New World Translations. But they use something different. It doesn't say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And they say something else at the end. They change the words around. But that's because of their Westcott and Hort translation. Was a God. Is that what you said, Brother Finney? Yes, was a God. And they'll take that verse off of that, and then they'll say, ye are all gods. Has it not been written that ye are all gods? And they'll say, oh, see, that this is what the teaching was. No. It is very clear what the Bible says here. Very clear that Jesus Christ is God. Very emphatically clear here. That the Word was made flesh. Folks, no one else could have saved you if it wasn't God that died for you. No one else could have saved you. Jesus is God. Plain and simple. And it says here, when we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten, the only one begotten from God. What does that begotten mean? Came from God. That's what that word begotten. They try to change that word now, and they try to change that as a son of God. Not as the only begotten son of God. Why? Well, they want to take that begotten away. Why? Well, once you take that begotten away, you take the sonship away from the son. And you take the deity of Christ away. That's what they're trying to do. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. All right. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We understand this. So basically, at this time, the scriptures explain in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is God. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're explaining the deity of Christ, illustrated in the scriptures. People will try to argue this with you. And if you don't have Bible, you're just going to sit in an argument with somebody. You have to understand also, when somebody's screaming their head off, you need to stop a discussion. Don't have a discussion with a madman or a madwoman. Especially a madwoman. Amen. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just telling you. Just be careful. Amen. Because, I mean, all you're doing is just wasting time. Unless somebody can speak on an even playing field and we can be polite to each other and we can talk like human beings and respect one another, then we don't need to have a discussion. Amen. That is the way that a husband and wife should respect each other as well. Amen. Yeah, the husband is the head, but he still should have some respect for his wife. And he shouldn't talk down to her like that. That's not biblical. Instruct, yes, but talk down to, absolutely not. It's childish and it's tyrannical is what it is. All right, Colossians chapter 1. We see here in verse number 15, these are great verses right here. You should memorize these verses. Defending the deity of Christ illustrated in Scripture, we see here, who is the image of the invisible God. Well, who is that? Who is he speaking about? He's speaking of the Lord here. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So translated into the kingdom of who? His dear Son. Now he goes on to explain some things here with that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? That phrase is going to be important. You're going to see it again in another chapter. Who is the image of the invisible God? He is the express image of God. Why? For no man has seen God at any time. Only Jesus Christ can be manifest as God as you can see him. Amen. No man can see him any other way. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Again, speaking of creation, groaning and travailing, speaking of that, for by him were all things created. For by him, for by who? For by the image of the invisible God were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now stop right there for a second. Brother Finney, pay close attention to this too as well, because this fits what you and I are doing and what this church does with Church State Law Ministries. Understand what it says here. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. See that? What does Romans chapter 13 say? Talks about what? The obedience? Talks about obedience? Turn to Romans chapter 13 quickly. You ready for this? The state worshipers won't like this too much, this connection, Brother Finney. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. We understand that. Now what does this verse say? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what that's telling you right there? That's obviously telling you that you obey the highest power of all above all. Amen. And if that power that be over you disobey God and ask you to disobey God, you don't obey them, you obey God. Amen. Why? Because he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And governments were made for him. It says, for all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, kingdoms, or dominions, or principalities or powers. That's every form of government there on this earth. Right there. Every form. Whether it be a throne, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Who's he talking about? He's talking about him being God. He's talking about Jesus. Remember, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Who is the image of the invisible God? He is God in the flesh. Amen. Manifest in the flesh. Right there, the express image of him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know that concerning Romans 13 says the same thing, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that I'm to obey God above that tyrannical government that disobeys God. This was understood by the Hebrew midwife, or the Egyptian midwives. This was understood by Rahab the harlot. This was understood by the Jews. Are the Germans that protected the Jews during the Holocaust. This was understood by Peter, James, and John and the apostles. This was understood by your founding fathers. Amen. But notice verse number 19 sums that all up, that thought all up, and says this, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Fullness of what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him. Remember the Spirit. Remember what was prophesied. The Spirit was not given unto Christ according to measure. He is God. Amen. It's a very powerful statement, isn't it? He is God. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And anyway, he talks about that. But he is explaining the deity of Christ. And in chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. There's another deity of Christ verse right there. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Yeah. All right, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read you this whole chapter here. We're not going to be long on it, but we're going to finish up here in a few minutes and then go on to our meeting and be done for the day here. But God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the times past unto us, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we understand in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Amen. Now, watch this, verse number 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, Christ, the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person. Now, this is even more expressive, amen? This is even more expressive than in Colossians chapter 1. Because what he's explaining here is the express to a T. He expresses who God is, completely who God is. Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, lived his life as God would live his life on this earth because he was God in the flesh. Amen. He was the express image of his person. Amen. The express image. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. From the which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the into the world, he saith, "And let all the angels of God worship him." When in any time in the Bible did angels of God worship any man, any mere man? Every angel that was ever alive or ever on this earth, the only thing that they told man was, "No, don't bow down to me. Bow down to God. Worship God. I'm nothing but a messenger. Don't bow down to me." But what did he tell these angels? And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, "And let all the angels of God worship him." All of them. Worship him. They all came to worship Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now watch this. Here's another verse that proves the deity of Christ. But unto the Son he saith, "Thy throne, O God." You see that? But unto the Son he saith, "Thy throne, O God." The Father is saying this to the Son, but unto the Son he saith, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Remember back in Colossians, he said that it was his, that we were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Remember that? In Colossians chapter 1, it says we are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Listen, folks, I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're learning something here so you don't get stumped when you're standing before somebody that makes you look like a fool because you can't explain Scripture to them. You can't explain what you know. You can't explain the Word of God to them. You can't explain to them who Jesus Christ is and why he's God. You ought to be able to explain that to somebody when they ask you. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as if a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? He explains here thoroughly the deity of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 explains thoroughly the deity of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 explains thoroughly the deity of Christ. Explains it, spells it out for you right there to understand it and to teach others with it. Now study it and grow thereby and learn something. Make sure you know these things when somebody confronts you. The saddest thing that I have seen among Baptists is the fact that, well, among the Jehovah's Witnesses, 50% of their congregation nearly are ex-Baptists. Now, they may not have been Baptists as far as being, they may not have been born again, but they are ex-Baptists. You want to know why? Because a slick-talking salesman came in one day, a JW, and they sat down and they had a little Bible study. And I guess you could liken it to calling it studying the Bible with the devil. Hey, that's a good sermon title. I'll file that one away for later. But they go and they study the Bible with these Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, let's have a Bible study. And usually it's two women that come and they say, hey, let's have a Bible study. And some guy says, sure, I'll have a Bible study with you. Yeah, they literally use women to do that. I'm not kidding you. I've seen it. They've asked me, can we come over and do a Bible study? No. What unless you come over and do a Bible study with me? Amen? I've seen them. They do it. That's how they get in. They get in doing those Bible studies. One lady said, oh, can I come back sometime? No, I don't need you to really come back. And then when you bring them this truth, then they start getting angry with you when you start to show them that. And you look at him and say, well, if you believe not that I am he, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible's very clear about that. To deny the Father, or to deny the Son, is to deny the Father. You're denying the Son his birthright, who came from the Father. Amen? These verses, and there are many more in the Scriptures that show the deity of Christ, but these verses will teach you what you need to know concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember these things. It's very easy to remember. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. There's enough Scripture there to explain that truth. Right there to anybody that Jesus is God. And anytime you run across this and you come up to this subject, you ought to be able to point them in the right direction and show them from the Word of God. Now, you can't make them believe, but you ought to be able to defend what you believe. You ought to know where the deity of Christ is talked about in the Scriptures. Just remember that and file that away. And I want this to go online here, just a short little thing. I know it's not very long. It's not very long, but it's long enough to be able to explain this truth and have you look through the Scriptures. And I hope that you study these matters out. I may do a few other doctrines like this as well sometime, just short little 15-minute teachings on this to kind of explain that. It doesn't have to be long. It's enough to go subject by subject, doctrine by doctrine. I'm trying to think. The Hildebrands, you folks had a sheet that dealt with every doctrine of the Bible, too, that you were teaching your children, right? Isn't that what it was, a doctrinal sheet? I can't remember what it's called now. Was it a wheel or something like that? Pyramid. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, it was a triangle or something, yeah. Yeah, pyramid, triangle, same thing, whatever. But anyway, that's what I was looking for. But I remember that. I remember looking at that. But that's what we need, amen? We need to be teaching doctrine. We need to understand these doctrines so you can defend your faith. I know a lot of soul winners that go out and just ram people through prayers, but they don't know anything about the Bible. When somebody asks them a question, they're all thrown off. But they'll slam this person through a prayer, but then you're in trouble because if they don't believe what you just did and they don't understand it, the minute that Jehovah, you know what happens? That Jehovah's Witness comes along, takes their New World Translation out, their perversion out, and they bring it to him and they say, hey, well, yeah, I know you like religion and everything, but let me show you something else. Amen. And then they trick them. And they're not saved, so they fall for it, and they just don't understand the truth. Huh?